Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mitzi Perdue is here. Mitzi is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Tough Man, Tender Chicken, Business and Life Lessons from Frank Perdue. She was his wife, but she has her own credentials, which I've mentioned to you before. Author of hundreds, if not thousands, of articles. UN delegate to the Conference on Women in Nairobi, and many other credentials. And more importantly, though, she's our friend, Mitzi Perdue. Welcome back to the show.
What a joy to be back with you all.
It's good to have you back. She also lives in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, the Eastern Shore of Maryland. If you ever get a chance to go over there, it is breathtaking, that part of the country, Mitzi. So I'm jealous knowing that you wake up over there every morning and see that beautiful countryside.
I look out my window right now and I see birds flying by.
Yeah,
it's a lovely place.
Yep. So let's talk about failure. One of the things that I have spent a lot of time on the show talking about is failure. And not only failure, but the relationship of failure to success, or the lack of which. And what I have said, Mitzi, is that failure is the harness mate of success. That they're not, one's not in front of the other. They're side by side, hitched to the same gear, pulling the same wagon. And on any given day, one pulls harder than the other. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree more. And second, the idea of failure is actually something that kind of defines my life, because I was a rice farmer for a good bit of my life in California. And although I had a Harvard education, I wasn't really doing much with my life. But I had an experience that totally changed my life and sort of, from my mind, felt like a rocket boost towards success. And here's what happened. I had a man who worked for me. He was a tenant at my farm. Mm-hmm. On my rice farm. And for the sake of protecting the guilty, let's call him Peter Smith.
Right.
Well, Peter had an unusual circumstance. He had an IQ over 200.
Wow.
He was just amazing. There were articles written about him because he was one of the few people on the planet with an IQ that size. Well, I got to know him really well, because when you spend days and days and days walking across the rice field paddy.
What did he do for you? What was his job?
He grew rice for me.
He helped you manage your farm.
Yeah. No, okay, actually, I was the manager. He was a worker.
Right. Oh, he was. Okay, go ahead. Now go ahead.
But doesn't it sound a little strange that somebody with an IQ over 200 would be a rice farmer?
We call them hands.
Yeah.
A farm hand.
Well, I got to know him really, really well, and I learned his story. His story was that he realized he had this incredible gift of this brilliant, brilliant mind, and his life plan was that he was going to write a great book. It would be one where he could just use all his knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the world, and he'd put it all together in the form of a book, which would be like a gift to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, that would be a pretty exciting thing to do with your IQ if you had something an IQ
right.
of 200.
Right.
But years went by, and I knew that he was collecting information for the book, and he had, you know, in his garage, he had file cabinets full of information, but he never really was writing the book until one day he told me that he had a fatal heart condition, one where they didn't think they could keep him alive long enough to go to the Mayo Clinic for quadruple bypass surgery, and that it was a death sentence. And he was depressed, as anybody in the whole wide world would be depressed if you know you're going to die. But for him, it was even more depressing than anything.
He hadn't finished his work.
because he hadn't finished his work. Well, at that point, I did something really, really presumptuous. He was sitting in my office, and I was behind my desk, and I picked up my telephone, and I signed him up for the Pritikin Clinic. And we're talking, by the way, like 1978.
Right.
Well, in 1978, the Pritikin Clinic in Southern California had a tremendous record for helping people with heart disease. They did it through diet, right, exercise, meditation, mm-hmm, and whatnot. Well, he was too feeble to protest. I simply signed him up for it, and I got him to the airport. I arranged for mm-hmm. him to be met in Southern California, and a month later, he had lost almost 15 pounds, where before he couldn't walk across the room without crippling
chest pain. Wow, they made a difference, yeah.
It didn't just make a difference. This man lived another 30 years.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So, yeah, first of all, bravo to the Pritikin Clinic.
Right.
But second, when he got back, he told me that he felt as if he hadn't just lost all the weight. He had lost all the years. He was like a young man again. And I told him, Peter, this is the best news in the world. Write your book. And he told me, yes, I'm just about ready to. I just have to do a little bit more of research. And, well, at that moment, I knew that he was never going to write his book.
He wasn't ready to take a chance.
He was afraid. Well, yes, fear is the operative word there, afraid mm-hmm. to take a chance. And I knew him very well, and it was like a blinding flash. I looked at his life, and I looked at my life, and I saw what held him back was fear of failure.
Yeah.
He knew that if he wrote the book, it might not be a success. And that meant that he did the one thing guaranteed to produce failure, and that's not to try. Well, at that moment, I made a vow to myself that I've actually kept, and remember, this is 1978, and I've followed it ever since, that I would no longer be afraid of failure. To me, mm-hmm. the only real failure is not to try, not to give it your all. And an amazing thing happened within a year of that resolution. I'd always wanted to be a writer. I'd never tried because I was too afraid of the rejection slips. Well, within a year, I was a syndicated columnist because I wasn't afraid to send out
right.
my work. And yes, I got rejection slips right and left. But
sometimes sometimes they say yes.
Yeah, sometimes they say yes.
That's the thing.
But
you
I wouldn't
learn.
Have known if I hadn't put myself out there and tried.
And one of the best ways to break that bad habit is to start selling. Go sell something. And if you ever knock on a door and get thrown out a few times, you'll get over failure real quick. Great story from our good friend Mitzi Perdue. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.